Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Know what we're making today, Ty? We are making today a spiced rub barbecued sirloin, beautiful organic free-range, really beautifully marbled meat. We're going to barbecue those, so they've been sitting in their dry brine, which is a ducker mix, which is a little spice mix that's got lovely whole seeds like fennel and coriander and whole cumin seeds and stuff. We've rubbed those. They're about to go on the barbecue. White sweet potato, pink sweet potato, and English potato. Sort, it's like a kind of cross between a fondant and a roast potato. We've got a smoked garlic gravy situation. We've got spiced poached beetroots that have got a glaze that is made with the poaching liquor from the spiced beetroots and the pulp from the plum compote, which is part of Makita's drink, which she'll tell you about now.
Nothing gets wasted here, does it?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing. We made a plum raspberry compote with cardamom. What else did you put in a deli?
Ginger, cinnamon.
Yeah. So something that's a bit cosy and lovely, but not necessarily alcoholic.
Tamsin Nathwaite is coming today, and it's a really beautiful thing. Now, full disclosure, I called Tamsin and I said, Tamsin, I'm so happy you can come. Would you, as your guest, bring your friend and our friend, Fee Cotter Craik? Fee Cotter Craik is one of our favourite people on the planet.
Yes.
She's amazing. She's a TV producer extraordinaire, really fascinating, extraordinary woman, and a dear, dear family friend, and also a really, really good friend of Tamsin's. So we were like, oh my God, maybe we should get them all at the same time. And Tamsin said, I'd like nothing better. So they're coming together, yeah, which is very exciting.
So we're basically having like a kind of cross-generational birds in the industry Sunday lunch.
Yay!
Tamsin was everywhere, yeah, for a good 5 years, yeah, and I wonder what that's like to then decide to leave something like that, because it's so stable, and acting life just isn't.
Is not stable. She's doing a play at the moment. She's got an interesting project that I really want to know more about called Free Women, which is about, yeah, giving women access to kind of health spa retreat spaces who can't normally afford it, and that was one of the things I thought, oh God, I'd love to have Tamsin here so we could talk to her more about that. Okay, Tamsin and Fee, welcome to lunch. Now, normally I would say, Tamsin, who have you brought? But I know who you brought because I asked, yeah, you to bring her.
I found her outside waiting.
I mean, she does that.
She's waiting for weeks.
She's a bit of a skulker.
She's by the bins. It's true. No, but I'm so happy that we could have Fee because we've known Fee for a really long time.
Fee Cotter Craik.
Fee Cotter Craik.
Amazing watch. Tamsin Outhwaite and Fee Cotter Craik. Welcome.
I mean, I know her too.
I, yes, know you're
not
amazing.
Not just off the telly.
Not just, no, off the telly.
She's been stalking me for, yeah, 7 months.
Quite was some time. When was that, the show that you met on?
We were doing a thing together for Comic Relief, and I was thinking about this the other day, and it was called Comic Opera, in which five poor people, all women, we gave them 24 hours to learn how to sing.
24 hours
to learn how to sing an operatic aria live at the Colosseum in front of an audience.
I mean, did you not just completely shit yourself? I'm sorry.
But I just used my dress to cover up everything. I had this brilliant dress and I just thought, make the dress
did
work.
Did you just dress
flounce and flounce?
Yeah. Tamsin is doing herself a great disservice here.
Was she amazing?
A, she was amazing, but B, she was actually the one, and the others wouldn't mind me saying this, who basically drove it from the artistic point of view.
Right.
They had extraordinary help from the ENO.
Oh, wow.
But what they brought to it, once they'd been given their sort of directions, and I'd never seen this happen before, was what actors can actually, really good actors can do. And she's one of the best I've ever seen.
Oh.
And she absolutely brought life to it in a way that I really couldn't believe.
And you hadn't envisaged that it might need, even.
Well, no, because I created it, so I thought it was pretty fucking perfect.
And then some action started interfering with your process.
Your process.
Typical. My process. No, I loved it from the minute I saw it.
So my friend Sarah runs an amazing charity called Made in Hackney. And her mother passed away recently, and Sarah called me and said, her mother had boxes and boxes of doilies and tablecloths and all of this beautiful wear. And she's like, I've given some of it away, but I really want it to go to someone who might really appreciate it. And I went, are you kidding me? Give it to me now.
Yes.
So I've got all these beautiful napkins and doilies
from Sarah's noticed
mom.
As well.
And Made in Hackney are amazing. Look how stunning that is.
So is it, what's so this Made pretty. In Hackney?
No, so what Made in Hackney do is feed people all over the city, actually. It started in Hackney, and I went and I'm an ambassador with them, and they do made up boxes of food. So it's not even just ingredients. They take food to people who have no access to fresh food and who aren't able to make things for themselves.
That's amazing. Wow.
And they do it every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And they've been doing it for like 9 or 10 years now. Mm. And in the pandemic, then they started even for people like dealing with people's dietary needs. So people who've had cancer treatment, who can't chew, people who can't taste things, they will do specific dishes for people. So I've designed a couple of little meals that they take as well. And it was just like a real... Like being able to do something like that with people who do that kind of work always makes it so humbling.
Of course it
because
is.
You're just like, wow, this is it's like people who show up.
Yes.
Like every single day they show up and they just do it. They don't talk to anyone, they just get it done.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And Made in Hackney are like that and they're brilliant.
How fantastic.
They're really good.
And I bet that what's their funding situation? I bet then because
tight.
It sounds
It's tight, you know, they need donations. So if anybody's listening and wants to donate to Made in Hackney, feel free to do that.
Because you have an initiative that you've started and
I'm so interested in this.
Yeah, we're wondering how you were funding it and because it's such a great thing.
Tell us about it.
I was on a retreat. I love a retreat. I reckon in the last, since maybe menopause, in about the last 5 years, though, I've started kind of having to look after myself a lot better. And I got
is this because
retreats.
Menopause kicked in and you had to think
differently? I think it was menopause. I also did that program Freeze the Fear, which made me go...
I know, Wim Hof, Mum.
That Wim Hof
goodness,
thing.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. And that made me go, gosh, I don't push myself out of my comfort zone ever. And sharing a tent with 7 other real high achievers who, like, get up in the morning and do a 5-minute plank and all those things. I thought,
were
my God.
Were you the only one who didn't?
No, I wasn't the only one who didn't. I was actually getting stuck in with them. And I was doing all the things that I thought I'd never do. But, like, getting in ice water. If you can get in an ice bath or ice water that's frozen, and I hate the cold, I think I should have been born in a hot country.
Yeah.
It's like, after that, you can deal with anything.
Do you think you could do it?
I can't. No.
Wait. Don't you remember that ice machine? That cold machine that we used to go stand in Stoke Newington after training?
Yeah, but
and you got quite into that. That's because I thought it would make me lose weight.
Well, it does.
Yeah, but ice
I only went in there for like a minute tops.
But it wasn't, it was more about the fact that if you can do that, anything else is kind of a breeze.
Yeah.
And it brings it all right back to the breath. It brings it all right back to meditation.
Breath work.
Breath work, meditation, nature, all of these things are completely free.
Yeah.
Yoga. If you learn.
Dressing me out.
But
if you learn how to do it, you can take it into your everyday life. And I think I went to a gong meditation the other day.
Oh, God, that's what I want to do.
It's incredible.
Oh, my God.
Is that the thing with those weird bowls?
Yeah. And it was incredible. It was 1.5 hours long. Gong. It went like that. Meditated through it. Anyway, that the reason I got onto that is because I was at a retreat.
Oh, the retreat?
Oh, yes, sorry.
And I had this healing thing from some shaman. He held his hands over me, over areas that probably needed healing. And I thought I fell asleep for an hour. And an hour later, he woke me up in my head. And I said, I'm really sorry I fell asleep. And he said, you didn't fall asleep. You were shaking.
Oh, my
for
goodness.
For 60 minutes like this.
Oh,
like, really?
Really?
Anyway, I wasn't sure about it. He said, go back to your room. Don't look at your phone. Don't do anything. Just clear your head. And I went back to my room and I didn't do anything. I was just looking at the Dolomites in Italy, like on the balcony. That's this is
so
mad.
Oh, so you're in Italy where your family
yeah.
are from?
Yeah.
Oh.
How did you know that?
Because I do my research.
And all of this, it felt like something had shifted or cleared or something had gone. And I just sat there and I thought, I really want to thank this place for allowing this to happen. It was like a 6-day trip. So I thanked the Pradelhof and Healing Holidays, who had kind of shown me where to go.
Yeah.
And it was a complete solo trip. And I thanked them on Instagram. And all I kept getting was, I need that. I just can't afford it. That's what I need and I can't afford it. And within probably a couple of hours, I'd gone from self-care to creating a movement on my phone and in the computer and going, wow. Haven't got time for yoga and sauna today.
Sorry, creating a movement.
I mean, I wasn't creating a movement.
No, but I hear you. You
got what was overwhelming was the amount of people coming on going, well, I do this healing, yeah. I'm a masseur, I'm that. And I think I thought, we'll just do one retreat.
So how are you connecting people to access all that stuff?
So there are 5 co-founders who have been with me and we've done 2 overnight retreats. This week there are 2-day retreats in Devon. How you accept and how you submit, say you have to nominate someone.
Yeah. Right.
So the 2-day retreats that are in Devon are menopause retreats. So that's about women that are just juggling everything. Yeah. Suddenly the menopause hits them. A lot of the time they're doing it on their own. They don't have the money for a nanny. They don't, and they're running around trying to have careers and have it all as we're supposed to have.
Yeah. Is HRT free?
It is free.
Okay.
Yeah. But not everyone can take it. People that have had
it's
cancer.
Complicated.
It's really complicated. So I think...
Because we don't know enough still.
Yeah.
No, of course, because...
And also we haven't talked about it enough until quite recently when it's all... Yeah. Gone crazy about menopause. But
so what's it called?
It's called We Free Women.
We Free Women, that's it, yes.
And we've had men saying, can you do one for us? But at the moment, we're just concentrating because it's not there's nothing anti-man about
it. No, no.
It's just that the workload tends to be quite female heavy.
Yeah.
And then when people are hitting the menopause, they don't really know. I mean, they're losing their confidence. Oh, they're getting angry. So they can't really cope.
Well, I never realised that they meant me.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean? When people talk about the menopause, they thought, that happens to women when they get older.
Yes.
I didn't realise I was going to get older. Mm. And it meant me as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I completely agree.
It makes no sense because obviously I knew I was going to get older.
Yeah, but I just see yourself as a menopause woman.
And you still don't understand. Also, I thought it was just going to be like bad PMT.
Me too.
For a bit.
And then I was going to get hot. My mum said I got hot one afternoon.
Yeah.
That's literally how she described it.
My mum thinks it's made up.
Does she?
But you know, they used to say when women got to a certain age, she's gone a bit funny.
Yeah.
What did you know about it, Fee?
Yeah.
Well, I knew it was going to happen. And then, I hate to tell you, my experience was very like your mother's.
Oh, my God.
It was just...
but I'm really happy for you.
Yeah.
And so, I have so many friends who have had the most awful times. Mm. And, you know, they've done, you know, the classic things of, you know, putting the cat in the fridge.
Oh, yeah.
And then being surprised when they, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the cat? Where's the cat?
Just feeling a bit doolally.
Yes, but I was very lucky. And I don't know why. Or it might have been because I was just so drunk when I had it.
Well, I think that's what women do.
That actually, I, you know...
Didn't notice it.
No.
Well, that is possible.
It is possible because
people do self-medicate right the way through.
Yes.
You know.
I'm going to blame the menopause for being an alcoholic for a bit.
Okay, there you go.
Why not?
But you're not now.
No, I'm not.
How long have you been clean and serene?
Well, actually, 13 years. Vicious. My sort of... anniversary is on the 1st of September, and I usually make a huge deal out of it to myself by waking up, and the first thing I do is I listen to Irene Cara's Oh, What a Feeling.
Because I love it.
And it is the most, if you've been a drunk and then you become sober, it is the most incredible gift to give yourself. Anyway, and normally I sort of build up to it and I think, should I have a little listen before? No, forget. And then this year I completely forgot
Wow.
And so I think I'm now over the excitement of being sober. And I just expect.
Are.
Yes. And I know I'll never, ever have another drink again as long as I live.
Right. So it's like live it, and then it just is.
Yeah, exactly. And it just becomes.
Yeah, it's not precarious. So you don't have to kind of carry it around in front of you in your hands.
Exactly.
Like, kind of so like anything could happen.
Yeah.
The fragility of it.
Careful.
Yeah.
And the thing I'd say, if anyone is listening, if this makes it to the final cut and everything, is if you think.
If you think
you've got a drink problem, stop drinking. It's really that simple.
If you've even had the thought.
If you think you might drink too much, just stop it. Because honestly, life is much more fun without it, amazingly. Yeah.
I think everybody should do whatever they need to do to be happy and to be healthy.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting being an English person. You go somewhere like America and you have a second drink and people go, you're all right. And it's like somebody said to me, it's like in America, it's like what a normal English person would drink on the train from Houston to Liverpool. They're like, oh my God. I'm so worried about her.
Yeah, so true.
Oh my God, I'm like, two little wine bottles. Leave me alone.
She's had a shit train ride. It's like,
No, that's true. It happened to me in LA once. Yes. I was having lunch with Morwenna Banks and all her team
there.
And I ordered just a spritzer, wine with fizzy water in it. And one I had. Maybe two.
I remember I was
two, maybe two. Let's stop at two. Exactly.
So English. And, I had one. Okay, three.
Actually, honestly, it was very, very little. Because I remember thinking, I better not have too much because I'm in America.
And totally.
So I had two glasses, right? Two wine glasses full. And at the end of the lunch, some woman very concerned came up to me and said, honey, I think I have a program you'd be interested in. And I thought she meant a television program.
I thought it was a job. I thought you got a job.
So finally, I cracked Hollywood.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tamsin, we were talking about this and talking about the kind of the way that a soap opera lives in this country. And I remember when you joined EastEnders, you weren't just in EastEnders, you were like the centre of plot lines for about 5 years. Early noughties was your time. Was it late 90s, early noughties? 98.
I went into the show.
That's right.
Before camera phones.
Yeah.
But during News of the World days and people sat outside your house with long lenses.
Did they used to do that to you?
Yeah. They used to. Oh,
my God.
But what you didn't have is
everybody taking pictures of you all the time.
So I think we were more hermits. We'd either be out or we'd be in with the shutters closed because there'd be someone sat outside.
Because EastEnders
was it really that bad?
Yeah.
Because EastEnders is just a different kind of being famous. It's like you're in everyone's home every night and it's, what, 18 million people watching?
Yeah. Well, I think Mel getting married to Ian Beale.
Oh my gosh, she did, yeah.
On New Year's Eve for the millennium, I got a feeling that 23 million people watched it.
No.
Or something like that.
Yeah,
there was a screen in Trafalgar Square with the whole thing showing where everyone was crowded round. And I was away because I wanted to get out of the country with my family. And I remember someone phoning me from Leicester Square going, you can hear a pin drop.
And it's because everybody was voice.
Because they're going through the, I do.
Whatever. Awful acting I was doing.
No. But this is a very different experience to just being a jobbing actor. It's like suddenly you're in EastEnders and something else happens. Your life becomes very different.
Yeah, but when I joined, it was a 3-month contract with a 3-month extension.
Every time.
Yeah, and well, I think they did a year after. But I remember thinking, oh, this is just a job, an actor's job.
Mm.
And then, of course, it gets extended and... Yeah. It started to go well, so I stayed there, but I had a brilliant time.
Yeah, I bet.
Did you? Did you enjoy it? You liked it?
Loads of it was just brilliant.
Who were your main guys? Ian Beale, did you have time with Martin?
Me and Martin Kemp were married.
Oh, yeah,
me and Martin. Mel and Martin.
Me and Martin.
So she married two guys from the square, did she?
Oh, I think she married again.
Oh, my God, Mel. Yeah.
That kind of telly famous is really interesting, isn't it? Because people think they... really do properly know you. There's an intimacy about telly famous.
Yeah.
And how did you find that kind of attention? Well,
I think when I first went in, it was on twice a week. And by the time I left, it was on 4 times a week, plus the Sunday omnibus.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I used to love the Sunday omnibus.
Do you remember that?
Do they not have that still anymore?
No, I don't watch it anymore. I used to watch EastEnders religiously. Like, there was a massive EastEnders one. Watched it all the time when you were on it. It all got a bit too grim.
So, Mum, that's how you decided to leave EastEnders. How did you decide?
I love the way Andy manages to absolutely seamlessly insert herself in.
She's in it. She is. It's so immersed.
People are so rude.
No, but how? Because that's a lot of security. This is the thing. I have a lot of aunties and uncles that were actors when I was a kid, so I really understood. And it's interesting that I've become a freelance person in my working life because I remember thinking, oh, that looks scary, that whole not knowing where your next job's coming from and the rejection, all of that. So to then get something so stable and good money and you're working and everyone's watching, because I hate making TV, no one's watching. How do you leave that? Because it feels so good when it's
because
good.
Because it was 3.5 years I was there, and before I was a jobbing actress doing things like theatre and bits and pieces, but mainly theatre. So in my head, I thought, well, I'll just go back to being a jobbing actress and doing what I did, but I'll just have a bit more money this time because I've just been in that for 3.5 years. So I think that I quite welcome that, not knowing.
Right.
But the grass is always greener, because then when you don't know, you're like, oh, I just want a bit of stability.
Yeah.
And then you're in something for 6 months and you're like, oh, I just need some days off.
I know.
As long as you can flow with it all, like water.
Yes.
Then you're okay, because this too shall pass is the best saying ever.
Yeah.
So true.
Because you know it will come round.
You know it will come
round.
And
that's actually also about the good things as well. It's like you're flying high. It's like this too shall also pass.
Absolutely.
You know? What about you, Fee, on your side of the industry? I mean, you're a producer.
Indeed.
And so what's it been like for you?
I'm so old now that nobody wants me. I'm too difficult.
I want you.
I know, darling, but I know.
It's interesting because I think that you'd think that would be celebrated as a producer in television.
Yeah, because it means you're really experienced, you've done loads of stuff.
Yeah, and you have done so many different things.
No, that's true.
Did you have a heyday where it was like just like bang, 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 working?
Yes.
In a very different time for the industry. Well,
yes and no, but there it was all drugs. There was a big show I worked on once.
Let's call it that.
And we had to work very, very, very long hours. And there was really, truly only one way we got through it. And that was drugs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just part of the scene. But now, it would never happen.
No, can you imagine?
No, I can't.
Drugs on the set.
No, but yes, that's what it was.
On set?
One of the places I worked, somebody came around on a Friday afternoon and took our orders.
That's
absolutely true.
Honestly, and that was the 80s. And now, the generation that are just coming up don't even drink.
Can I say that in my generation, it was like that as well?
Yeah.
I remember thinking, oh, it's just like life. Telly, because I was used to growing up around parties and people, and it's not even a hum of that energy
but
now.
Most of us were in our sort of early to mid-20s, and we were given all this responsibility to fill up 2 hours of programming, and we were given autonomy, and you know, and we were allowed to find the stories and then put them on television. And now,
and find
you
your
could
rhythm.
Not make that
things,
show
everything
anymore.
Is overproduced, though. I think in TV, in music, in everything that you do, in every creative endeavor, things used to be able to develop as a sort of underground underneath the radar, and that would be sort of recorded just kind of almost ad hoc, and then it would become something that was sort of shared bigger and bigger and bigger, and it sort of organically became a great big thing. Now there are people scouting around trying to find the next big thing before it's even had a chance to draw the breath.
Yeah. You'll never do it like that.
And it's just, it just means that things end up being really sanitized and also just flat.
No fun.
Monodynamic, because it, nothing's true. It's not real.
Because everyone's so frightened as well now. So because of that fear that's put in everything, everything has to almost be so sanitized, and it's sometimes like robotic television.
Totally. Creation coming from fear is just like not the one.
That's not what you need.
That's
creation
start.
Yes, you're absolutely right. That sort of created round what we can't do. Yeah. So get rid of everything. Yeah. And then also what's left? With these three ideas.
And also, also constantly thinking about what somebody else might react to it is not the way.
You're second guessing everything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't be thinking about
you've
that.
You've just got to be your authentic self. Do your authentic, what you believe in, what you are good at, and hope that everything else
works out.
Works with you.
So you have two children.
Two children, that's it.
And a partner.
Yes, you're still a child too.
Oh, your boyfriend's younger than you.
Yeah.
So your husband,
so I've got
boyfriend,
two kids. I've got a 15-year-old. I've got a 11-year-old and a 33-year-old partner.
Oh, woo! What a life.
You look quite perky there. You're looking kind of good on that.
Having a good time.
Well, I'm happy at the moment. We don't discuss the future. We just have a nice time.
I read something you said, Tamsin, that I loved so much. You said, I have this lovely man in my life. He's a wonderful stepdad to my kids, and it feels great. But if he wasn't here, I would still feel whole, and I would like my life. And
thought,
yes, yes.
I mean, if he wasn't adding and complimenting my life, we wouldn't be together. But I feel complete on my own. Which is quite new.
Isn't it a fantastic
So even though I'm in love with him, if he wasn't around, I would still feel complete.
You'd still feel complete.
I love myself at the moment.
Yeah.
So you do.
That's so good. Congratulations.
It's taken a long time.
It does take a long time.
Oh, God.
It does take a long time.
It took me ages.
But so I met Cher once. Cher said to me, I always
Cher.
No,
Cher.
Excuse me,
Cher's my guru.
Cher can be your guru. She said this thing to me. She said
Actual Cher said to me.
I can't believe she's taking this. This is my story.
It's not your story. She said it to me.
The fact that I have something that Cher said to me is a story of mine in my life.
It's like the Cher war. But anyway, so she said to me, I love going out with younger men because they were brought up by women like me. She said, men that are the same age as me get on my nerves. They're assholes. Men that are younger than me were brought up by women like me who think like me, so they're really cool. And I was like, oh my God, that's such a brilliant thought.
Yeah,
that's a brilliant thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
She is always brilliant. I absolutely love her.
Is she like your friend?
No.
But you both love her.
I was watching Witches of Eastwick every night at home. I loved it so much. And then Mum went, we're going to go see Nana at the studio down the road. And we got there and I was like, why is the lady from the film here? Oh my God. I was like, what the hell? She was just amazing. But then I interviewed her later on.
And this is your story.
And this is my Cher story. For, don't get it twisted, the burlesque film special. Okay? Christina Aguilera, Cher story. But anyway, I went to LA and it was a junket, and we all know what those can be like. Junket is where you're interviewing different actors in a hotel. I was last and I had to wait all day, and then we just talked for an hour and we just chatted, we had tea, and she told me about her life and she gave me advice that I still like hold in my heart.
What?
Oh, right, yeah. No, it was... Well, she's got that famous line of when she says, don't you want to date a rich man? And she says, I am a rich man.
Yes. Come on. I always say that.
Come on. But what she said to me is never let a man tell you how much you can dream, because it will always be limited.
Of course.
Never, ever let them tell you how big you can be.
She really should be running
everything.
Queen of the world, Cher?
Queen of the world. There's a few people I think should be running things.
Yes.
Cher. So I quite like Dawn French up there.
there.
Dawn French,
Dawn French
Cher.
Would be great.
Well,
Dawn French should be Cher great.
Cher just takes over America. Dawn French takes over here. Yeah. I bet we'd be having a really good time.
Imagine a world run by them.
I'm really liking the idea of the women's communes at the moment, where women seem to be... Single mothers seem to be buying places together with
really?
Other women.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's a raising really productive household. Mm. And they take it in turns to do the childcare, and
but
yet they
know,
all work.
When Makita was little, that's kind of how she was brought up anyway. It was like a whole bunch of us. You know, none of us had any money, really. We certainly didn't have any nannies. Well, Nana had a nanny. So we all shared looking after the children. They all grew up in a big pile and slept in a pile most of the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what's it
that
like
was kind
with
of
your
like when I, no, well, when I was brought up, oh, my yes. mum was Italian. My mum had me when she was 19. My dad was 23. You know, they're young.
And she was Italian, and she, did she come over here?
No, she was born here.
Born here?
Yeah, further back, that basically. And when I say they didn't have money, my dad was a black cab driver, and he also worked for the Sunday Times in the day, so he was, like, doubling up.
Yeah.
But when I think about it, like, I always remember it was very, very often my mum and dad's house was a open house. And, you know, people would come in and look for their kids and then find them asleep under the pile of coats. You know, at 2 a.m, we've got to go. Pick the kids up.
Right.
And you know, they'd go... I mean, you'd never be able to do it now.
I was just thinking, you could not
of course not.
That
and then you'd be, like, finding the two-year-olds, like, that someone had put a coat over them, but then someone had thought that was the coat.
Right.
And then they'd be chucked into the back of the car, no seatbelts.
Right.
But that is almost a version like of the community raising the community.
Yes.
And I love that. So happy
and
I'm from
if
that.
I hadn't had that when she was little, I don't know what I would have lost my mind. I don't know what I would have done. And I certainly would have, I think I would have gone underwater.
Yeah,
slipped
do you think
under.
You would have?
Yeah, no, absolutely, because you need it.
Of course you
need
you do.
Like on New Year's Eve, we always did a thing where everybody would bring the kids to my house and then anybody could go out. So people would go out for a couple of hours, come back, and then somebody else would go out for a couple of hours and come
clever.
Out. And it's just a nice way of doing things. And you lot used to just run about until you collapsed.
We were happy.
And then we'd go, oh, look, one of them's asleep behind that pot. Pick it up. Yeah. Pick it up and put it in the back. Pick it up and put it with the rest.
Yes.
Put it in the Wendy house. There's about four of them in the Wendy house, in the back bedroom. Put it in there. Should be fine.
So has that translated into the way you've raised your kids?
No, mine's a bit less kind of working class just because of
what you did with your life. Yeah.
Mm. And so I did have a nanny / family member / someone that brought up my kids when
did
we were growing up.
Did you yearn for structure?
Yes,
when you were
desperately.
Because she was like that. Makita used to show me pictures of weird offices and go, why doesn't our house look like this? And I go, because that's an office. Nobody lives there.
Yeah.
That's where they do, you know, and she would like stainless steel. She wanted everything. Ours
because,
was all like bits of cloth everywhere.
When I went to my convent school, I had indoor shoes, indoor hat, outdoor hat. And suddenly I was in Ursuline Convent in Ilford. And suddenly I was allowed to speak differently if I wanted. You have to even speak like my parents.
Right, is that when you got a bit active?
I don't know, just suddenly like, oh God, I can recreate my life like this really
how
kind of organised.
How old were you when you were
9 or 10?
Oh really?
Did you love that?
I did for a minute, and then, of course, that's not really me, this convent.
Then you realise you're in a convent, yeah.
I'm now in a convent.
I don't think I'm ever going to be a nun.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed the structure. That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
Like, and then in the team, like the sports and stuff, all of that, the sporting was really great.
You're very competitive.
I think I am.
Yeah, me too. I think you're very competitive in general, to be honest with you. Because you just always try your hardest.
I think I'm overly passionate.
Yes.
Is what I'd
no,
like
I don't think
say.
It's overly.
No, it's...
I think it's
it
just
matters.
Passionate.
I think
you're allowed.
If you're doing a job, I think you have to love it. If you love it, you will give it everything you possibly can and not stop worrying about it until you think, OK, I've done it now, I'm good.
When did acting sort of appear then?
You are lovely.
When did acting appear? Was it? I'm just wondering how that sort of... What you're saying about her naturally, those natural kind of tendencies, did it just seem like the logical path for you to take?
I was doing, I did 8 years of musical theatre before I got my first play with Alan Ayckbourn in Scarborough at his theatre. I was just doing musical theatre.
Up and down the country,
in the West End.
In the West End.
Oh.
So 8 years of Oliver and Grease and all of those big productions in the West End.
I mean, you're quite young.
I started I left college at 19. London Studio Centre in King's Cross, and started straight away and toured and then went into town. And then I was working with Alan Ayckbourn for a 1.5 year period, and I had an audition for EastEnders at the end of it. And I remember it was something like July 5th, and on July 8th they said, I had a pager.
Oh my God,
And I remember I had a pager and I was on Tottenham Court Road and I was in a dance troupe at the time because I was earning money at night. God, I've just...
God, doubling up like that.
Doubling up like that.
Earning money at night, be careful.
Earning money at night. Scantily clad. It wasn't just earning money at night. It was dancing. Gyrating around.
Because I was just thinking, God, but why would you get a night job as well? And I just thought, well, if your dad was doing two jobs, you're quite used to that.
No,
seeing
I think
the
my
hustle.
My dad was retired quite young. But he only did the two jobs for a short amount of time. And then I think he's been retired for a really long time. I can't ever see myself not working.
Where did the grafter in you come from?
I still love a car boot sale.
Right.
there's something, it's no waste is really imprinted on me. Mm-hmm. That food mustn't be wasted. And, you know, I've got things at home that I know I can sell. And so I will actually take my kids to a car boot sale. And it's more about the fact that I'd rather put that money into the charity.
Right.
So you do car boot sales?
I still do.
Do your kids
not all
love
the time.
That?
One loves it, my Kate.
I love
One's got the graft in her, right. Which is like, I need to work, I need to earn money. Yeah. Like this little artful dodger character.
Right.
And I think that's obviously from me.
That's from
Can
you.
I just ask a question? So do you actually stand behind the table?
Oh, yes.
And what do people...
I did it once in a wig.
How do people react?
I put a wig on once,
what
and then I started
wig?
Talking.
No, tell me what sort of wig. Was it a
It was a share wig, actually.
Yes, it
all
was.
Roads lead back to Cher. Right.
Okay, so you stand behind whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't do them every week, Phil. Oh.
No, but I'm just imagining people going, "Isn't that Tamsin Atwood?"
Sometimes, but it's more about the buzz for me. Like I used to do them at Hackney Wick years ago.
Oh heavens!
Me and my two brothers, you had to get up at 4 a.m. We'd pack the van. And we would have everything from my mum and dad's loft. We'd be going around going, that clock, they don't want that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in the back.
I'd like to ask all of you a question.
Oh, please do.
Because,
then it leads into something appalling that I did quite recently.
As opposed to something appalling you did a long time ago. That's right. Finally.
So I would like to know from each of you, do you actually prefer being recognised and being famous or somebody who you are sitting quite close to, i.e. as close as this, not having a clue who you might be? Which would you actually prefer?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't care about people recognise me or not recognise me, but I do feel really grateful when people are interested in the work that I do.
Yes.
And give a shit about anything I've got to say about anything. I did a book signing and a talk yesterday.
Huh? It's generally quite a lot you've got to say about
it. I've got quite a lot to say, so it's quite nice that I like the fact that people would want to hear it, because otherwise it'd just be me talking to the wall. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Because it has to come out.
Tell us about the book signing.
I did a book signing yesterday in Abergavenny Football. And I realised that every single time I go to one of those things, I think no one's going to come. And every single time there's been so many people there, and it's always a really emotional... Because I just think if you're going to do those things, there's no point in half answering things. And people ask you a question. So, you know, I end up talking about, you know, my poor 5-year-old sad heart when I was a little girl. You know, all of this stuff. So there were people crying, and it was just a really kind of intimate, emotional, intense experience. And I like that. Mm. I like having that kind of access to so many people, and I like them being able to access me back. Something in me kind of needs it.
Happy with yourself.
Yes. Yesterday I said I feel like a rocket ship.
Brilliant.
But this is what me and Mum
Can we just
about.
Say cheers, yes, to,
cheers
that.
To the rocket ship.
Because that's
that.
Loving
cheers
yourself,
yes.
Isn't it?
Cheers to the yes.
Rocket ship.
Cheers. Rocket ship.
I would imagine you would be positive about most situations.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to.
You make a choice,
don't you? You have to. You
chose that, obviously, way back.
Yeah, because I like it.
I think some people are absolutely predisposed to that attitude.
Yeah. What is it? Audre Lorde said something brilliant. I am deliberate and I'm scared of nothing.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Audre Lorde, what a woman.
Lovely.
Incredible. I am deliberate and I'm scared of nothing.
Audre Lorde also fantastic. Said, without community, there is no liberation.
There you go. Audre all the way. Audre and Cher.
What? I'm so happy they came to join us for lunch.
Okay, so you, my darling.
Yeah.
Would you rather be recognised or not noticed?
I'm really grateful and appreciative when people say, I saw you in that and I loved your performance. Or, I came to see you in that, and it's a theatre thing. And I really let that play really stuck with me. Mm. Or that, you know, if someone's seen something and it's affected them, you think, yeah. Job done.
Yeah.
And so that I don't ever tire of that.
No way.
And that's not about ego even. That's no, about you paying it forward and the ripple effect of something. Deepak Chopra.
Yes.
So I had this meal with him and 10 other people that was invited
Shut
to.
Oh, my God.
At Soho House. And then he sat at the end of the table, Deepak, and he said, so in our culture, in our beliefs, we believe that the first 25 years of your life is to learn, is study. It's all about learning. And the second 25 years of your life is, we call the fame and fortune years, but it's actually family, building your family and your business and your life. And the third 25 years of your life is all about paying it forward, giving it back and service.
Wow.
Service.
I knew it!
And I don't think I've got anything anywhere near as much joy from the giving back,
right,
or the paying forward, whatever you want to call it,
definitely,
of We Free Women. And, you know, just when you start to do things and you realise, oh, my God, I'm out of myself, because you see the effect it has on other people, and that becomes the buzz.
Exactly, and it's do good. That's, it's so like in Rastafarianism, great. They say do good.
Tell them
do
about the good. Heart thing.
Yeah, I went to this incredible camp when we were doing the Caribbean show up in the mountains, an old plantation that they'd taken over and turned into this beautiful Rastafarian camp.
Community,
all these different families, people. And we went to a Naya Bingi drumming ceremony. Oh my God, times in feet. It was just so, I was like, oh God, something really big in my life's happening right now. You know, you're like, it's right now, something is shifting. And it was just this dun, 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 dun. And she said, and I said, I love that. You said, it's like the heartbeat. And she says, yeah, but it's the heartbeat saying, do good, do good. And it's just so simple, to the point where I can't even let, like, I don't know, I can't even let like a tin fall off the shelf in a supermarket. I'm like, do good, pick that up for them. Yeah, or like, just like, make sure that that's, and feel, make sure, and like, don't be kind to that man who delivered this today, and make sure he feel, do good.
Yes. Pay forward, do good,
do
be
good.
Of service.
Be of service.
We are all one.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just some people haven't been awakened to it yet.
Yeah, they will. They'll come round.
The reason they pass the Sochi on the left-hand side is because that's where your heart is.
Yes,
that's exactly. That's why things are passed to the left.
It's not just about getting high. It's about community and communing together through your heart.
Neither did I until she got back from the camp.
Please, can I tell you the reason I asked about the fame?
Yes.
Because a couple of weeks ago, I went out for lunch and I went to meet some people I didn't really know, but I'd met a couple of times and they were really nice. Then they asked me to go for lunch and I went. And so there was nobody there I knew. And there were two married couples and a single woman who was a really high-powered lawyer. And I found myself sitting next to one of the wives of the couple, okay? And I was chatting away and I said to her, what do you do? And she said she was an actor. And I thought she was probably about, 27, 28. And the rest of them were sort of up to early 40s, okay? And I said, oh, really? What sort of actress are you?
Oh, no.
And she
love it.
Said, oh, I do a bit of everything. So then I said to her, I actually know the guy who runs the Norwich Theatre. Would you like me to put you in touch with him? And she said, no, I'm right. Sort of like, so this went on for a bit longer. True. This is awful true. And I then said to her, well, going back to you being an actor. And she said, yes.
She's thinking, God, who is this woman?
This woman don't know me.
Exactly. She said, have you done any movies or anything? And she said, yes, a couple. I said, really?
It's
really awful.
Did she say I've won an Oscar?
No, not quite. Okay, she was brilliant about it because she must have known it was real and I had absolutely no idea who she was. So she says to me, yes, I have actually. She said, I've done a couple. And I said, oh, what ones? And she said, well, I did one with Olivia Colman. I went, oh, really? Which one? And she said she'd done The Bad Mother. And I said, oh, God, I've seen that. Well, you're one of the kids. And she went, no. Because the kids were about 7 or 8.
I know.
It was only 2 years ago. Okay. And she said, no, actually, I played the young Olivia. And I said, you didn't. And she said, I did. So I then get home and I thought, I wonder who it was. Okay. And I went to look at IMDb.
I don't think Mum's going to know who this is.
I know, I do.
Is it Jessie Buckley?
Yes. Jessie Buckley. The most sought-after actress in the world.
My favourite bit of the story. I know a man
I love
Norwich Theatre.
And
what's so funny is that about not that long ago, she probably would have liked to be at the Norwich Theatre.
She's a great singer. She's a great singer, isn't she?
She's a fantastic human. Honestly.
But she's a lovely woman as well. Is she married?
Yes, she's got a nice husband called Freddie.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Oh, he was at the party.
He was at the party too. It was just, you know, it was just the awesome.
They love me, that
Norwich Spirit.
Oh, jolly good, you're doing well.
Yeah.
Here's to spirituality. Listen,
can I make a toast for you?
Yes, you can. Can we let's fill up our glasses?
Okay, because this is absolutely relevant to what this is about. I think this toast should be about friendship, and particularly the joy of female friendship, because we ladies absolutely, you know, need each other. Yeah. And each and every one of you has brought such joy to my life, so I'd just like to thank you for that.
We love you.
So there
love
you go.
I'm so happy you're with us today.
Old friends and new.
Old friends and new.
Exactly.
Old friends and new.
But female. Thank you for coming.
But yes. Female.
Exactly.
Wow, my goodness. That was so much fun.
That was fun.
That was genuine fun. A new I was going to love Tamsin.
You just know with some people that they're good, as you always said to me when I was a kid, good people. She good people.
What's that line in When Harry Met Sally? Like, you know, like with a good melon.
Like, you know, like when you get a good melon. That's what Tamsin's like.
As soon as I opened the door and I saw her eyes, I went, oh, I like you.
Yeah.
She's just proper people, isn't she?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, I really wanted to know as much as I could about Tamsin as possible. And also, I really wanted to talk to Fee properly because she's been in our lives for so long and she's just so undervalued in her work.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's such a brilliant producer.
And yeah.
Why aren't those women kind of celebrated?
Celebrated
more?
And valued and paid what they're worth. And why aren't there people knocking down the door when there's this incredible human who's done all this extraordinary work? I loved it when Tamsin said she really could never get enough of people coming up to her and saying, I saw you in that plane. It really made me feel something. It transformed. It made me feel different.
Yeah.
And that I think, if you're a creative person, the hunger for that's like food to you. That's like fuel. And it's like, that's why you do creative work. That's why we do the things that we do, because we want to reach other people. It's not about a recognition thing. It's about connecting to other human beings. And that is what I live for. You know, I love that we ended today with that beautiful toast from Fee about female friendship.
Yes.
And how important we've all been to each other in our lives in different ways.
Yeah.
Because it's good to remember. Here's to Sunday luncheon.
Here's to Sunday luncheon.
I like it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.